Welcome to the Hirschfeld Century Podcast. I'm Catherine Eastman, the Archives Manager of the Al Hirschfeld Foundation.
And I'm David Leopold, the Creative Director.
And we are here with a brand new episode just in time for Christmas.
With the greatest Christmas gift you could get, the American Theater as seen by Hirschfeld, 1962 to 2002.
Our new book, you forgot to mention. The newest Hirschfeld book.
Listen, if you're interested in Hirschfeld and you don't know that this is the new book, you have been living in a closet, under a rock, I don't know. We have been anything short of demure about this. We do a lot of press on it. We've gotten a lot of press coverage. We have it all over our website. If you follow us on social media, we are constantly referring to it because we're very excited about it because it's a great book.
And it was a little bit of a labor of love. It was one of the last things you talked about with Hirschfeld before he passed.
3 days before he died, we had an extended discussion about this book. And it's something that I always wanted to do because in 1961, he put out this great book, American Theater as Seen by Hirschfeld. It was his favorite book because he selected every piece, he designed every page, and it was a great collection of his theater work. The fact that it did not have page numbers or an index did not bother him, although it did bother his archivist, who regularly complained to him about it, to which he responded to with, I would say, a giggle. Something like that.
David made absolute sure there was an index and page numbers in this book.
I'm thinking about everybody else. You're looking for something. The works are, each chapter is a different decade, but they're not in chronological order.
They're not in chronological order.
Exactly. This is not a book of, and then he drew, and then he drew. Yeah. And in fact, this is the biggest book of Hirschfeld Theater drawings that has ever been published. There are over 300 drawings in this book, and they're larger than they've ever been in any book and most of the times in the newspaper. We wanted to make sure that when you were looking for something, you could find it. So because it's not 62, 63, 64, it doesn't go like that. We try to make good juxtapositions on the page spreads. So if you were seeing something on the left side, there was something on the right sort of responding to it.
Yeah, or complimenting it.
Complimenting it. That's exactly right.
So our idea for this podcast episode is to kind of a back and forth between David and myself, picking out our favorite drawings from each decade. I always threaten to do this to him, make him pick favorites, and he gets very nervous.
I don't have favorites.
But I definitely have favorite Hirschfeld drawings. I think everybody does.
Well, you're much more opinionated than I am.
That's true. Well, on certain things.
Let me tell you, Jelly's Last Jam is one of the greatest musicals on Broadway.
See, there
Broadway
you go. History. I would argue not, but that's your opinion. So we wanted to kind of pick out the pieces that we want to highlight, which I don't know what David has picked. He doesn't know what I have picked, but if I had to guess, most of these are probably going to be drawings you haven't seen before or maybe don't know about, maybe have never been collected in a book before. I guarantee you David did not pick Hello, Dolly for the 60s.
And I love Hello, Dolly, but I didn't pick it.
Yeah, and Phantom of the Opera for the 80s.
Did not happen.
We've picked drawings that kind of, I don't even know how to describe, the weird ones.
The ones we wanted to make sure that you know about.
Yeah. We know you've seen all the great ones, all the popular ones, all the iconic drawings. We want you to turn to the pages that you might overlook otherwise.
And that's important to understand about this book. This book, like the 1961 book, has, of course, the shows that have to be in there. You can't tell the story of Broadway in these five decades that we discuss without talking about Phantom of the Opera, without talking about Hello, Dolly. So, of course, those drawings are going to be included. But in the original book, Hirschfeld included sort of well-known shows and then also shows that lasted a week, nobody's ever heard of, but they were great drawings. Yeah. And that really was the criteria for getting in this book. You had to have a great drawing.
Yeah.
So in the case of the Mystery of Edwin Drood, 1985 musical, there's a cast drawing. We could have used that, but instead we used three. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know what a Friday drawing is. Three individual portraits from the Friday Theater column to represent that show because we felt those drawings were stronger than the original cast drawing.
Maybe a better representation of the show.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That happens quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you, like maybe everybody's seen that cast drawing of The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Doubtful.
And well, okay. Well, I was trying to help you out here, David.
I have other examples, but I don't want to interfere with anything else that's been going on that will go on in the program.
And then I just, one more thing before we get into it, because we are kind of rambling now, but this was a really fun process to do. One of the first projects I ever worked on when I started at the Al Hirschfeld Foundation was working on the Hirschfeld Century book. Now that was published in 2015, but we started working on it in 2014.
Right.
And that was a real education for me in learning literally 365 drawings that went into that book.
You probably had to pull more than 365 drawings because we were pulling ones for possible selections. So we probably
two-thirds of those were cut.
No.
You don't think two-thirds?
Oh. Oh, no. There are 365 drawings.
In the book.
In the book, but we probably pulled 500.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, that's still a lot that were cut. And that was a real, but I didn't really know. I wasn't so far into Hirschfeld at that point. I was really just appreciation. So for this book now, 9 years later or whatever, I was able to come to the table a little bit more informed. And what David and I did is we went through literally every single theater drawing Hirschfeld drew.
What a pleasure.
From 1962 to 2002. Literally every single drawing.
Literally.
How many is it? Do we remember?
Thousands.
Literally thousands. I didn't know if you know, was it 3,000? Is it?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. It's a lot. And we basically went through several times just each decade. We would look at it, yes, yes, no, no, no,
right.
maybe, keep right. that one, maybe. And we just kept doing that process over and over and over again until we had, you know, an appropriate number. This book, if I let David, this book would have been
unable
a lot
to,
bigger.
To, you wouldn't be able to lift it.
Yeah.
We were really trying to also... Hirschfeld always said, know your limitations. Mm-hmm. And the limitations that we imposed upon ourselves was to try to make this book as close to what the original book was.
Yeah.
You know, page-wise. So when I realized we were going to have about 50 pages for each decade, I said, this is going to be easy. I hope we have enough drawings.
Oh, please.
And it turns out that we could have made each section twice as long. And you would still be complaining that you didn't include this drawing.
Yeah, we still would have left some out that
yeah,
you love.
I mean, they're that we like.
Yeah.
I mean, that at the end of the day, it's what we like.
Yeah.
And there's so many wonderful drawings.
Yeah. But I think the most important thing that we did with this book is really try to make it what we believe Hirschfeld would have if he had created it. If he had
Definitely.
Picked out the drawings, we think he would have picked very similar ones or, you know, had them very similar. Of course, it's not the same. I wish he could have done this, but hopefully this is second best to, you know, Hirschfeld's real sequel to that original. Hopefully we got it pretty close.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I also want to do a shout out to Catherine. I try not to praise her too much on this program or any place else because it goes right to her head.
That's true.
And we have small doorways here, and I just want to make sure she can get in and out. But when we started this project, we started pulling the digital files because we digitize everything. And we looked at them, and they were good for most things. But these drawings were going to be reproduced larger than they had ever been reproduced before in most cases. And as we started looking at the files, we thought, we can do better than this. And we pulled a tremendous amount of original artwork, also full-size reproductions that were made when the drawings were submitted to the New York Times. They created these and gave them back to Hirschfeld, which, and in terms of photography, are almost as good as having the original drawing.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
They capture every line. So if you have seen any of these images before, they have never looked as good as they're going to look in this book.
That is our hope. Yes,
and that is due to Catherine Eastman.
Well, thank you. It is literally my job. I'm happy to do it. I enjoy doing it. It gives me, great pleasure to see a drawing come to life, like in a new way, which I think actually I'll just go right into the 60s.
Yeah, because let's
hear it. That is one of the drawings I've picked.
Yeah, great.
The drawing I picked for the 60s caused me great headaches and probably an entire afternoon. I probably spent way too long on this.
It was worth it.
If I had told David, he might have said, Catherine, maybe stop at this point.
Right.
But the drawing I've picked for the 60s is what we refer to as Comedians of 1963.
Yes.
Which is a conglomerate.
Conglomerate? No, it's not a conglomerate.
What is a gaggle of comedians? A giggle of comedians, of male comedians from 1963.
Yes.
With Zero Mostel featured in the center.
Of course.
Of course. Where else are you going to put him? He's got to go in the middle. So speaking of all that new photography, all we had of this was a newspaper reproduction.
Right.
Which, as you know, is just not great. It's something. Our newspaper clippings are one of the biggest treasures we have.
Because
sometimes it really is all we have left of a drawing is the newspaper clipping. But this drawing looked horrible. I almost wish we should do a book before and after. Maybe it'll be a special book where it's like before, here's what the reproduction looked like before, but here's what it looks like newly photographed. So this is actually a photograph of the newspaper clipping that I just spent a really long time cleaning up, whereas that previous is a scan of the clipping, and it just wasn't not a lot of care was taken when it was cleaned up. You know, it was right. Just kind of turned black and white and all the dust was removed. But what I did with this really made those lines a lot thinner, you know, a lot more like what I think they looked like on the original drawing.
Right. And then our designer, Todd Johnson.
Oh my gosh.
Gave it the once over. He filled in some blacks that
absolutely
needed to be filled in.
Yeah, big shout out to our designer, Todd Johnson, who...
Incredible job.
I mean, these aren't just thrown on the page. You could do that. You could make a book of Hirschfeld where you just throw the images on the page.
Right.
And actually, I think there are some Hirschfeld books people made, not us,
right,
where that was done. Todd Johnson, he knows Hirschfeld so well, and he's so good at what he does that we couldn't have placed these images or done these images justice like he did.
Exactly. He was inspired by the original layout. And so that the drawings, you know, it's a horizontal format. The drawings could have looked the same on every page.
Right.
And they don't. No. Each page looks very fresh. And when you see a spread open, it always feels fresh.
Yeah, agree.
And so the Comedians of 1963 is a wonderful drawing. It does have Zero in the center. And why is he in there? Because he's in Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. We have the complete cast of Beyond the Fringe. And there is there are wonderful cast drawings of both of those shows.
Mm.
But they have been in previous books. That was something we thought about when we were working on this book, that if it has been in, you know, you have to have Hello, Dolly.
Right.
It's going to probably be in every Hirschfeld book, it right, seems, right, because it is such an iconic work. But we looked at this and said, this is a very great, this is a wonderful drawing. And we get to cover two shows, actually four shows. There's Alan Arkin's in it and Paul Ford is in it from different shows. I think Alan Arkin's Enter Laughing and Paul Ford is...
Never Too Late.
Never Too Late, which is... No, I thought that was in the first book. He did a cast drawing of every one of these shows except Enter Laughing.
Well, it could be because this is, I don't know what the date is on this drawing, but maybe Paul Ford in Never Too Late was in 1962.
Right.
You know, that's possible.
But the last book ended in 1961.
Oh, 60. Well, maybe it was such a success.
Yes. Yes. My guess is it wasn't.
Okay.
But there is a cast drawing of that. And so we just looked at this. You know, Hirschfeld did theme drawings.
Yeah.
They became less and less over in this period. But this is
this is kind of the tail end of those theme drawings. Yep.
And in fact, we'll see the last theme drawing is included in this book.
Great. All right, David, what did you pick for the 60s?
Okay, I picked a show and a performer you've never heard of before.
Shocking.
Jennifer West in The Diamond Orchid. And I just always thought this was an interesting drawing. We have it on a page that shows, as I wrote the caption, the roles that document the rise of tyrants, because also on the same page is Chris Plummer in Bertolt Brecht's The Resistible Rise of Arturo I, which is also a great drawing. But Diamond West is essentially Evita without music. Right. It is Lawrence and Lee, who wrote Inherit the Wind and many other great shows, based this drama is a thinly veiled biographical portrait of Evita.
Right.
And Juan Perón and Evita Perón, which in 1965, when this drawing appeared, was very much recent history.
That's true. Not that long ago.
Unfortunately, I read the reviews of the show because that's the rabbit hole that I get into. And not a very good show, unfortunately. Lawrence and Lee had bigger hits and better shows. This show ran all of 3 nights.
Wow.
And the New York Times review said, beautiful gowns and a great set.
Mm.
You know, they didn't have high opinion of either the performers or the play itself.
Mm.
But it got a great drawing. And
it's a beautiful drawing. It really is a nice drawing.
And when you know it's Evita.
Oh, you see it right away.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I had just seen a production of Evita at the Bucks County Playhouse. Actually, great production. And when I look at this drawing, I think, wow, they could have used this on the poster. Mm, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's not Lonnie Ackerman in Evita, which is, I think, the very classic Evita portrait.
Yeah, Hirschfeld portrait.
And that's in the Hirschfeld Century. In this book, though, you do get two bites of the apple of Evita, because in the 70s, there is the cast drawing of the musical of Evita.
Evita fans, don't fret.
Not to worry. Well represented. Okay, the
1970s. Here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, you already see what I picked because I turned the page. For the next decade, I'm going to hide it from you, so you have to guess.
Okay.
I love making David guess.
My life is miserable most days because...
It's
all a game show. I come in the morning and she looks at me and says, whose birthday is it today? And I've gotten to the point where the word birthday just is like
trigger warning.
I don't want to have a birthday anymore. Please, no more birthdays. I want to become a Jehovah's Witness.
The best thing about making people guess birthdays is it almost could be guess who I'm thinking about.
Right.
You know, unless you know someone's birthday specifically, it really is just a shot in the dark. But you have to, use your skills and, ask good questions to figure out whose birthday it is.
All I'm going to say is please don't expose young, impressionable minds to what's my line. It may eventually imprint upon them and you're stuck with what I have to work with.
All right, into the 70s.
Into the 70s.
For the 70s, I picked I love this drawing. I remember the first time I saw this, I think it was in The Entertainers.
No.
Is the book? No?
No.
It was a small, what book was it in? I don't know. It was a small book that I was going through and scanning because you were like, scan all the books. So I was scanning all the Hirschfeld books. And I came across this drawing and I was like.
I don't agree that's how I give direction here.
Scan the books.
Man the torpedoes.
I guess it is in another book because I scanned it. I remember seeing it. And I was just like, wow, this drawing is incredible and so beautiful. So I picked Eartha Kitt in Timbuktu.
I almost picked the same drawing, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
I almost did. It is
exquisite.
It's exquisite.
Yeah.
It is. It not only captures who she.
It looks exactly like her.
And it also captures the performance.
Yeah.
It's also, it's as timeless as an African mask.
It's so beautiful. And there is a cast drawing of Timbuktu as well.
Which is wonderful.
And she's actually in kind of a similar pose.
Right.
But it's got all this other stuff going on. You know, it was obviously I have to assume it was a pretty lavish, pretty extravagant production of the show. And she just gets lost in it. And so this single portrait is just, I just love this drawing. It's just so beautiful. That's all I really have to say about it is just how beautiful
it is. If you are thinking about a Hirschfeld tattoo, this would be a great one.
Yeah, it's just, I love this drawing. I remember the first time I saw it, I guess I misremembered. It's not The Entertainers, but.
I don't think it is.
I just looked it up. It was in Hirschfeld's World.
Okay.
Which is, Hirschfeld's World is the paperback version of World of Hirschfeld.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
And updated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but that's what this drawing was in. I remember seeing it. I was just like, wow, so beautiful.
Yeah. A really great one. The drawing that I picked for the 70s was a show that I actually saw.
When you were a child?
Obviously, I was younger.
Oh, I mean, like, you saw this production.
I saw this production.
Okay. Oh, fun.
It was a school trip.
Creek.
Yeah. That's my sister's was in some group that was going, and my mom thought it would be great for us to see a Broadway show. I didn't know anything. It's dancing. It's a Bob Fosse.
Dancing's the show.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. The show is called Dancing. And it's being revived, and it's going to be brought back to Broadway this season, next season. I'm not exactly sure when. Mm. But when I went to go see it, I had no idea who Bob Fosse was. I was 13 years old. Just the idea of going to New York and seeing a show, I was already on board.
Right, right.
The actually knowing what the show was about or knowing much about
completely
it.
Completely irrelevant. Yeah.
Didn't make a difference. A year earlier, I'd seen Dracula with Frank Langella.
Mm, on Broadway?
Yeah, on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
So those were my first experiences. Mm. But what's so great, this show was Bob Fosse doing all kinds of different dances. And Hirschfeld captures it. I mean, there aren't specific performers. You don't look at this and say, oh, this performer.
Right.
The name, here's the name of that performer. It captures the movement, the dance, this thing is still moving, and it's, you know, almost 50 years later, and it's still moving around, and it still looks as fresh as the day it was done. This was in a previous book, Hirschfeld by Hirschfeld, and unfortunately, it was the only drawing in that book that's across two pages.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I have a problem with that because...
We all have a problem with it.
People will always tell you... Publishers, designers will say, you only miss very little bit. And I say, well, we'll just take out 5 pages from the middle of War and Peace. Yeah. You won't miss much. Or we'll take 5 pages out of the middle of Hamlet.
Yeah.
What makes the difference?
Yeah.
You lose information. You do. It's not the way the drawing should be seen.
It hurts.
That's what's so great about this book.
Yeah. It physically hurts us when we see Hirschfeld drawings across two pages. And actually, speaking of that, unfortunately, I had to cut up a few books for this book.
Yes.
To get reproductions that we could only find in books that where the drawing was across two pages.
I won't name names.
There
are not many of those. And as I said, we really tried to find works that had not been collected before.
Yes.
More than half of the drawings in this collection, in this book, have never been in any book before.
Yes, even though the two we just picked from the 70s were. But those are kind of exceptions.
Well, now, one thing that this book has that the original book did not have is a color section. You know, Hirschfeld loved black and white. It's what he preferred to work in. But of course, he did color work. He'd been doing color work from almost the very beginning of his career. Not so much in the theater, but for film.
Right.
And so we had made a commitment that we wanted to include color work. And in this section, a lot of these pieces have never been in a book before. And when you look through them, you'll be like, how could you not have this in a book before?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that most books are black and white.
Yeah.
So as we were going through, you know, again, the limitation was 62 to 2002.
Yeah.
And then we had to make sure that we either had the original or something reasonable to work with. We found this cover of a TV Week featuring a color work of Ray Bolger and Jack Lemmon in a Marvin Hamlisch musical adaptation of The Entertainer, which had been a big hit with Laurence Olivier in the 1950s.
Right.
And a great drawing that is actually in the first book. This, he reset the show, so it was in America post-war. I can't tell you how good the show was. I've never seen it.
We should look it up.
We should.
I wonder if it's on YouTube.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because this is a televised version?
This was only done for television.
But it's a theater. It's like a play.
Yes.
That was kind of redone and then shown on television.
My guess is it couldn't have been that good, because if it had been that good, it would have been done other places.
And we might have heard about it again or something.
Again, the quality of the show does not affect the quality of the Hirschfeld drawing.
That's true.
Because the Hirschfeld drawing in this case is wonderful.
Yes.
And the crazy thing is, when we made our selections without the other's involvement, and we both picked this piece.
It appears as though we've both picked the entertainers for the colors, the entertainer for the color section. I love this piece. This is actually my personal copy of this TV week. I bought it on eBay a few years ago because it's just fun. It's a great drawing.
It is.
And you know, I love Jack Lemmon. And since I didn't pick the Jack Lemmon tribute drawing for the 70s, right, I figured I might as well pick him for the color section.
I always tell her husband she has to worry about all these performers that Catherine has fallen in love with. The luckiest thing is that she lives nowhere near these people, and most of them are dead.
Most of them are dead. Yes, that is great news. But this is it's just a fun piece. Into the 80s. I'm still not born yet, but we're getting closer.
These are my salad years.
Your salad years?
Yes, that's what they're called.
What's that mean?
Early days.
You don't know. Why do they call it that? I've never heard that.
Again,
this sounds like you're a rabbit or you were vegan or something.
If you were familiar with the multi-course dinner, you know that the salad comes early.
Oh, comes first. I see. Okay. Fine.
What is your drawing from the 1980s?
Well, from the 80s, I've gone back to patting myself on the back a little bit, I guess. And I've picked On Your Toes, The Slaughter on 10th Avenue from On Your Toes from 1983. Because all we had, you know, before on the website and, you know, just things we see on the database was a newspaper clipping of this drawing. And it's got a lot of detail, and you can kind of tell that in the clipping,
right?
But you just kind of assume, it's a little muddied, and you just, right, you get used to seeing them. You know, I know you know this, the more you look at it, the more you're just like, oh, I guess that's what it looks like.
Right.
It's just not very precise, and the lines are thick. And so when I pulled this large stat, which are those full-size reproductions, the times made of the drawings, when I pulled this stat, I feel like I might have audibly gasped because it looked so different from what that clipping looked like. I mean, it almost looked like on the original, their outfits were completely black.
Right.
And he just kind of drew little circles on it. But you can see here, you know, there's so much detail in their costumes that you just completely miss when you see it in the newspaper.
It's a tremendous piece. You've never seen this piece before.
I guarantee you.
Even if you saw it when it originally appeared in the New York Times in 1983, you didn't see it. You saw a suggestion of it.
Yeah.
And now for the first time, this work is reproduced in the way that Hirschfeld drew it.
Yeah.
Rather than the way it was reproduced.
It felt really good to photograph this one because I'm like, if I thought it looked like this and it doesn't, that means everybody else doesn't know what this really looks like. And so it's exciting to bring what it should look like, what Hirschfeld meant it to look like to everybody.
We love that.
I'm a prophet. What can I say?
The sound that you now hear again is her patting herself on the back.
No.
It's a sound we hear regularly here at the Al Hirschfeld Foundation.
In addition, this is actually a very beautiful, just like that Eartha Kitt,
right,
delicate, beautiful drawing.
Very much so. Yeah. And if you want to see a before and after, there is a place you can see a before and after.
That's true.
We made a short 2-minute video promoting the book. I say we, but we've added a third member to our team, Doug Coons, who brings with him some film and television background. And he made this video to let people know about the book.
It's like a book trailer.
It's a book trailer.
Yeah.
It's a trailer for an upcoming book, and it's great. And in that, this particular drawing from On Your Toes, you can see the sort of before and after, and it's striking.
It is. It really is, yeah.
And when you saw the original, the before, when you first look at it, you think, well, that's how the drawing looks.
Which is what I was saying. Yeah, you just accept it.
Yeah.
And it's not at all what it really looks like.
Agree. You can see the video on our YouTube channel. You're going to start seeing more videos from us because Doug is on board. And this is just another way that we can share information about Hirschfeld. And he's he's made some great stuff for us already. So look for that. That's going to be a regular feature. We may mention it here on the podcast, but follow us on social media. Go to our website. You'll be able to learn about the newest videos that are coming out.
We'll also put the book trailer in the show notes, so you can just click on that right now if you want. Or keep listening and click it after. David, what did you pick for the 80s?
So I picked a drawing from the 80s. It's the last one in the 1980s chapter. It's Bill Irwin's Largely New York. Mm. Now, Bill Irwin is one of those classic clowns. Hirschfeld actually thought he had no bones in his body because he could just move in any different fashion. And this show, which, believe it or not, was the first Disney-produced show on Broadway. Mm. Not under Disney theatricals, but it was a Disney-produced show, is great. He's got all the elements of it. There's several different characters. There's a woman dancer that is just, her body's just one line, it seems like. Mm. It's really ideal. And he captures Irwin in one of those moments where maybe he didn't have any bones. You know, he seems like almost like he's melting or
flubber.
Yeah, flubber. it's a great piece. And I knew that... I wouldn't say you can tell when Hirschfeld likes a show because the drawings... No, I think
a lot of times you can, though.
Right. He really got into this one. And he would do some Friday drawings of it, but this is the one.
Yeah.
Bill Irwin's in the book for a later show called Full Moon with David Shiner, but this one is really the great
one. This one's a lot of fun. Before we go into the 90s, I have an honorable mention from the 80s that I'd like to shout out. If you know me, you know that one of my favorite shows is Les Mis.
Yes, we know.
It was not my first Broadway show, but it was a very early
Broadway. What was your first Broadway show?
Lion King, of course. Of course. 1998. I just turned 8. We sat in the very, 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 very last row. And I remember there were two women who paid $25 to stand behind us to see Lion King. Because it had just come out at that point. It was a new show. I think, was it 97?
Yeah, probably.
Like, it was the new thing. And that was my first show.
But Did you have binoculars?
I don't think so. Now the stuff is pretty big. You know, you're not actually watching people. It's a lot of stilts, a lot of puppets. And, so I remember having a great time. But I saw Les Mis. I guess I was in fourth grade when I saw Les Mis on Broadway. And we sat in the second row. My dad took me. We took the second row. And I remember how cool it was. I could see them like spit. You know, I was like, oh, my gosh. Wow, we're so close. But I love Les Mis, one of my favorite shows, which I know is corny, but whatever, deal with it.
A lot of people's favorite.
I don't like to criticize drawings, but the Les Mis cast drawing always just falls a little flat to me. Mm. And, you know, you've said before, well, it's part of the mega musical, and that's kind of the thing, is like the set and the costumes and all the effects and all that.
The drama of
exactly.
The staging.
So like this big spread.
It was made into a limited edition, print.
Yes, people do love it, but as a diehard, it kind of just doesn't hit me right. So for this book, I really told David, I said, I really think we should include the single portrait of Colm Wilkinson as Jean Valjean, because that is Les Mis. Right. I can hear him coming off the page in this drawing. You know, it's almost like you know exactly what part of the show it is. And so we use that. We also put in Terrence Mann as Javert right next to him.
Right.
Which is also just a perfect encapsulation of that character. Well, either David or Todd put it across from Phantom, because of course you're gonna put it across from Phantom. Yes. But to have the Les Mis cast drawing and the Phantom cast drawing, it almost seemed like it wasn't doing it justice.
It felt like some big long sort of noise.
It felt like one drawing, like one big noise, and so I just wanted to single out this little. You know, you might expect to see the cast drawing of Les Mis, but we really wanted you to see the characters. And these are much more character-focused drawings from Les Mis.
And they're exquisite.
The Colm Wilkinson.
Also the Terrence Mann. Yeah. When you look at the hair on Terrence Mann or his collar, and you realize you're seeing all the filigree that Hirschfeld put in there. And, I mean, it's stunning.
Yeah, yeah. So these are just two. I just wanted to shout those out.
Yeah.
As well.
No, they're wonderful pieces.
We would be remiss.
Yeah.
All right, David, you take us to the 90s now.
Well, in the 1990s.
Oh, I almost picked this piece. You're lucky.
For so many of the, in each of these chapters, like I said, it was hard to choose what pieces to put in the book. And so we got to put in 50 or 60 pieces from each decade. To try to pick one from each decade, very, very hard. I'm picking this one, but I could have picked six others with no problem. I picked this one, which were six leading ladies on Broadway, because I think this may be the last theme drawing he did, last theme theater drawing, where he took players from, you know, six different leading ladies from six different shows. It's hard to believe we had a theater season relatively so recently. You know, it's 25 years ago, but Carol Burnett, Carol Channing, Julie Andrews, Zoe Caldwell, Elizabeth Ashley, and Uta Hagen, all in one season.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, they walked 25 among us. Years ago is not that long ago.
No, it's not. It's not. And look, Julie Andrews and Carol Burnett and Elizabeth Ashley are still around and still doing, well, Julie Andrews is a thing of nature. I mean, she never grows old. She's just, she's always Julie Andrews, and it's wonderful. Carol Burnett is also just one of those people who seems to not age. Elizabeth Ashley, nothing against her, but those two performers are really so remarkable. And Carol Channing, you get to see a Hello Dolly here that is unlike any other Hello Dolly he did, but it is classic Hirschfeld Hello Dolly. And Zoe Caldwell, so cool and just austere from Masterclass.
Yeah.
And the Uta Hagen portion of this drawing was used for her centennial as a logo for her centennial. So it was really a great piece. Mm-hmm.
This is another piece that the reason I almost picked this piece as well is because it's another Comedians of 1963 situation. That one was really just a poor clipping that I spent a little, not as much time as Comedians of 1963, but that it does look really, it looks really great. And that is a great piece. I almost picked it. The piece I picked
probably
won't come as a surprise to David because I think he knows I love this drawing. We have this original drawing and...
What is it?
Well, okay, fine. Okay, I was just going to get right into it, but I guess I should tell everybody. It is Chimera from 1996, the Zingaro Equestrian Theater. And it's a woman atop a horse. And I just... Yeah. We have the original drawing. I remember seeing that for the first time, too. I love the speckle, I guess. The speckle really gets to me. That, if you want to know the way to my heart, just...
dip a toothbrush in a bottle of ink, and she's yours.
Spread that all over the drawing. But it's just so... I love the horse. I love the way he did the hooves. I don't know. Yeah. They're like flying. They're floating. You can tell... You know, this is probably, I think... Oh, Amy Wagner, help me out here. I think this is probably like an Andalusian horse or something. You know, they kind of, I think they trot a certain way, or I could be making that up, but I think there's, I think this is a specific breed that they use, breed of horse. And they have, you know, kind of like a Tennessee walking horse, you know, walks in that, you know,
I
has
have
that
no
weird
idea
trot.
What a Tennessee walking horse is.
Well, and that's not very helpful. But I think this is a certain kind of horse that kind of floats. It's trained or bred to kind of float in this way. And I think that comes across in the drawing. This is a photo of the original drawing. And in this, in the book, you can kind of see I don't even know what he did, but like, you know, on the left side, it's a lot of it's completely black and then the speckle starts. And it must have taken him a long time to kind of get that heavy speckle and then, you know, tape it out and get the light speckle on the horse and her. And then the gradient continues over to the right side of the drawing. There's a lot of tones going on, a lot of different textures on that original drawing that I guarantee you did not come through on the newspaper.
Oh, no.
I'm sure this looked pretty flat, the background.
Right.
And you can kind of, it almost looks like it's misprinted almost. You're almost like, oh, where'd all the ink go on the left side of the drawing? But that's how it is.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And it's not a drawing that you've ever seen in any other place. Unless you open the paper day, you have not seen this drawing.
This has never been shown.
And the horse is wonderful. The nose of the horse, the eyes of the horse with these spirals are really great. Really, that's a great choice. So that leaves us to the last decade. Now, we don't have as many from the 2000s as we do from other years, because there was only 2000, 2001, and 2002.
Right. Hirschfeld passed in January 2003. So technically, he you know, we could have put 2003, but...
Well, of course, drawings in the book only go up to 2002.
Right, right.
The drawing I picked is, I think, another unusual drawing for Hirschfeld. It is a cast drawing, but it is not your typical cast drawing. It is Dance of Death, starring Helen Mirren and Ian McClellan. Terrific performance, terrific actors. But the way Hirschfeld draws it, he has August Strindberg, the playwright, drawing a picture of Helen Mirren and Ian McClellan. You know, it's a, you know, it's a pretty bleak picture, but it is a picture nonetheless. And I just thought that was a fascinating way for him to deal with a show that is, you know, inherently not going to have a lot of firecrackers. You know, this wasn't some crazy costume. The sets, you don't go to see Dance of Death for anything other than the play. Mm. And here he really sort of has us focus on the play.
Well, for my drawing from the 2000s, I went a little cornball. I went a little...
We expected nothing less.
I went a little basic. And I picked Tommy Toon.
Why did you pick Tommy Toon?
Well, as you know, as everyone at this point who listens to the podcast should know, this is Hirschfeld's final published theater piece for the New York Times.
Correct.
From December 2002, Tommy Toon and White Tie and Tails. And you would not, I mean, it sounds so corny to say it because we've said it before, you would not know this was his last drawing at 99 and a half.
No.
It is just, I mean... I don't have a lot to say about it because I really do think it speaks for itself. It is just a classic Hirschfeld drawing. He's going out in style, you know?
And what I think is so appropriate about it is he captures Tommy Toon doing things that only Tommy Toon
can
do.
Right.
But he makes Tommy Toon, it seems so easy.
Yeah.
You know, like this casual elegance, like, oh, just put one foot in front of the other.
Exactly.
And when you look at a Hirschfeld drawing, you know, those simple one-line drawings and think, well, how hard can that be? How, you know, do we pay him as much? Because
this looks really easy.
Anybody could do that. And if you just try to do it yourself, you're going to find out that it is not easy
to
do.
It's not easy. Yeah.
And here but that's what he captures in Tommy Toon.
Yeah.
Just the elegance and sophistication, but also simplicity. It's actually, I think today is the 20th anniversary or close to the 20th anniversary from when this drawing appeared. I think it appeared, we're recording this on Friday, December 16th. And I think maybe it appeared yesterday.
Yesterday. It was the 15th.
The 15th.
Yep.
December 15th, 2002.
Wow, so we're 20 years out from this drawing being published. Yeah.
And I mean, when this drawing appeared, of course, nobody knew it was going to be his last drawing. And let me tell you, I was with him a lot during right around this time. There was no indication that Al Hirschfeld was going to die within a month of this drawing.
Right.
He was still doing all the things that he normally did. But in a way, it's really comes full circle. It appears almost exactly to the 76th anniversary of his very first drawing, first theatrical drawing.
Mm-hmm.
It is also very close to the 75th anniversary of his first drawing for the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been any time of the year, and the years might have linked out, but when this drawing appeared, it literally closed a circle that had been going on for three quarters of a century.
Wow.
This is the reason, folks, why there is a Broadway theater named for Al Hirschfeld. These drawings were as much a part of the Broadway experience as opening night, the curtain call, you know, everything that you would think of in a Broadway show. We're a little bit less these days on Broadway shows because they don't get heralded by a Hirschfeld drawing on the Sunday morning before the show opened. Yeah.
And what I think is so special, one of my favorite parts about Hirschfeld drawings is even if the show was really bad and it only lasted three performances or was a total flop, there's a good chance it has a really great Hirschfeld drawing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's how they're remembered these days. I think, of course, of Duke McHale
yes.
all the time from Babes in Arms from 1937.
Great show.
Which actually was a minor hit, I believe. Actually, kind of a big hit. It ran for several months.
Yeah.
But nothing remains of Duke McHale today. But that drawing remains.
Right.
And that's how, you know, I specifically
Immortality in ink.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And there's so many examples of that
right.
where all that remains is this really great drawing. And I think that's really special.
Well,
it's better than a photograph.
You know? One of the other things we did in this book, and in the original book, Hirschfeld had written these short introductions to each chapter, telling a little story mm-hmm. from that particular decade. And we had originally hoped to pull from Hirschfeld interviews texts like that, and it just didn't work. You know, just there wasn't enough there, and it would have been really forced. So I turned to articles about Hirschfeld that were written in these respective decades. And in the 1970s, Brendan Gill, the great New Yorker writer, wrote a wonderful profile of Hirschfeld. And he talks about how no matter what was going to happen with the show, Al Hirschfeld gave it a rousing send-off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was. You know, your show might close in 3 days, but you're going to always have that wonderful memory of seeing the drawing in the paper.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And in a lot of cases, the producer or the performer decided, doesn't matter if it was a hit or a flop. It's got our great Hirschfeld drawing, mm-hmm. and that's what I want to show to people.
Yeah.
And for Jennifer West, it was her one and only.
That's true. Right. Right. You know?
And for, believe it or not, for a lot of these performers, they didn't get a lot of drawings. I mean, Carol Channing got a lot of drawings.
Of course.
Terrence Mann is one of the people who's in this book.
Almost the most,
Yeah.
Yep.
It was interesting to see who was some of the most in here. Terrence Mann, Charles Durning.
Yep.
Who else? Julie Andrews gets a fair number of.
Now, of course, Julie Andrews is the woman that's been drawn the most by Hirschfeld. So it would make sense that she would have quite a few pieces.
But you don't expect her, you know, we don't think of, you know, the early part of her career is
theater.
We
definitely think of film. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Raul Julia is in this book, much as anybody.
More than anyone.
Yeah, I think he ties with Terrence Mann.
Nope, he has one more,
I think.
He has
one more.
Yep, he has one more.
But that just tells you about the depth of their theatrical career.
Yeah.
They did great work. And some of these names to contemporary audiences might not mean anything.
Yeah.
Raul Julia has been gone a long time, but really a truly remarkable
people
performer.
People might think Addams Family.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But yeah, you don't think he's in here six times?
Yeah.
He's in this theater book?
Or Terrence Mann, who just keeps popping up and popping up.
In the most unlikely places.
He's got to feel good. He had a career that it was really immortalized by Hirschfeld.
It's fun to go through the index that is in this book.
Yes.
And kind of look for who you know or, you know, who you've heard of or maybe, you know, don't know, but you're like, oh, I've heard that name a lot. Who is that? And to kind of check it out and see who's in here and their history with the theater. Maybe you do know Raul Julia from the Addams Family.
Right.
Well, there's six theater drawings in here featuring him. So
I mean, you'll see him in plays like Charlie's Aunt or Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
Othello.
Yeah.
Three Penny Opera.
Yeah.
Harold Pinter's Betrayal.
Yeah.
So it's
fun to go through.
Yeah.
And if you know a theater lover in your life, this is a great thing to give them for any occasion.
If you know somebody who loves great drawing in your life.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't have to have connections. Yeah. You know, you might not be a theater lover, but one of the things that was remarkable about Hirschfeld and his impact on the theater is everybody looked at the Hirschfeld drawings. Whether you were going to go to the theater or not, it didn't make a difference. More people saw these drawings than ever went to the show. When his drawing of Phantom of the Opera appeared in 1988, more people saw it that day than have seen it in the more than 30 years it's been on Broadway.
Do you think that's true?
How many people do you think have seen Phantom on Broadway?
I think a lot.
Millions?
It's been running for, millions, It's been running for 35 years. I think that's a bold claim. I would love it if it was true, but I don't know.
It's seen by more than 6,860,000 people.
Well, let's wrap it up here. We've talked an awful lot about our new book. If you haven't heard of it, it's called The American Theater, as seen by Hirschfeld,
right,
1962 to 2002. You can get it in our shop. If you order it from our shop, we give you a little gift inside.
We're not going to tell you what it is, but you're going to like it.
We always love seeing all the books go out. So hop onto our shop, alhirschfeldfoundationshop.org, and you can order the book now.
It's amazing to see. I love seeing, actually, this. Orders from all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
And really all over the world.
Yeah. And especially the past few weeks, we've been getting a lot of people sending them as gifts.
Right.
It'll probably be too late by this point to send it out for Christmas. But you can send a belated, I was so busy. I forgot to send you your Christmas gift.
They're going to get the book. You don't have to even tell them anything. You send somebody this book, the first thing they're going to say to you is thank you.
Yeah.
You know, because this is not a book that someone's going to say, oh, I only like some of the pieces.
Yeah.
And, you know, you like one of them, you're going to like all of them.
Or just get it for yourself because it is really great. We encourage you. And you can see drawings you've never seen before.
It's not really a complete reflection of the book, but we do have a companion exhibition at the New Museum of Broadway on 45th Street in New York City, something that should definitely be a place that is worth visiting by everybody. And the first special exhibition at the Museum of Broadway is American Theater as Seen by Hirschfeld, and there are drawings from every decade of his career.
It's not 1962 to 2002. That is the whole shebang.
Patsy Kelly, 1929.
Kelly's in it.
It's a wonderful drawing.
It is.
Don't know anything about Patsy Kelly, it's a wonderful
drawing. It's worth going to see because, it does. It does look
Really good. You can also see there's about 25 pieces in the show.
Of course, the original drawing of The King and I is in that exhibition.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's a special piece.
There's a drawing of one of Meryl Streep's first stage roles. There's Bloomer Girl.
Bloomer Girl.
A great piece that's got a collage doily in it. But there are portraits of Julie Andrews, Liza Minnelli, and Stephen Sondheim signed by all of them.
Yeah. Bernadette Peters, Manny Patinkin, and Sunday in the Park.
Yes.
We could go on and on and on.
But there's also great examples of his poster work there. There's an identical barber chair to the one that he worked in. And finally, there is a new app only available to be done in the exhibition called Hirschfeld Yourself, where you can create a Hirschfeld portrait of yourself using Hirschfeld eyes, noses, mouths, and hair. And you can send it to yourself, share it on social
media. It's a lot of fun. I have a rule. I only draw David. I don't draw myself. And he hates all of them.
Well, she doesn't have to draw herself because she has already been drawn. If you look up the monkeys and you look at Mickey Dolenz, that is so much like Catherine. It's shocking.
I do kind of look like Mickey Dolenz, I will admit.
We love her anyway.
I'm sure we've told that on this podcast story on that podcast before.
Just in case. Well, thank you for listening this far.
Thank you so much. If you've listened to this whole episode, listen to David and I Babylon yet again. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. You can always find us at
alhirschfeldfoundation.org.
That's right. And if you want to send in any complaints, send it to David, info@alhirschfeldfoundation.org. We're on Facebook, the Al Hirschfeld Foundation, Twitter and Instagram at Al Hirschfeld.
Right.
And our YouTube now also is at Al Hirschfeld, or I think it's just Al Hirschfeld, right? Do we say at on YouTube?
I don't know.
Just type in the Al Hirschfeld Foundation. It'll come right up. And like I said, that'll be in the show notes as well. And then our shop, alhirschfeldfoundationshop.org, where we've got all kinds of cool merch, mugs, tote bags, sweatshirts, you know, Jack Lemmon sweatshirts, whatever you want.
Also, hand-signed limited edition prints by Hirschfeld.
Yes, it's so much fun to go through. I love going shopping in the shop. Just what do I want? You know, what print would I pick?
Catherine Eastman is keeping the Al Hirschfeld Foundation alive by herself.
No. But yes, there are hand-signed limited edition prints there. And of course, our new book, American Theater as Seen by Hirschfeld, 1962 to 2002.
You can also get signed copies of the Hirschfeld Century
That's true. So thank you again for listening. We appreciate each of you.
We really do. And we appreciate each other. It's great being able to do this with Catherine. And it's great to welcome Doug Koons onto our team.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you when we do. I got to it first.
So long, everybody.